Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening. We come before you celebrating your grace and mercy. We thank you for our brothers and sisters who have reminded us tonight and helped us as we all come to the throne of grace to sing your praise. You are our Redeemer, you are our Lord, you are our Savior. We pray, Lord, tonight for our children as they are away at camp with Pastor Ken and all of the workers. We pray for them a special time. Many of us in this room have experienced all of those things in our lives of going to camp and having a focused time to hear from God. So we pray for them. We look forward to hearing when they return the blessings and what God has done among our young children. And then for Brother Tim, with many, a large group, both of them took to camp. We pray for Brother Tim and all the students who are away. We pray that the experiences they have of meeting with you will be life-changing. And many of us in this room, that's where our spiritual life started, at a camp. We thank you for it. We pray for all of our brothers and sisters who teach Bible studies tonight, Brother Jeff and the choir. We thank you for all the ministry life of this church. And we pray that what we do may please you and that you might be honored and pleased by what it is that we spend our time on. We pray, Lord, for next Wednesday night. We've invited our surrounding neighborhood around the church here for our 3rd of July celebration. We pray, Lord, for the people who may come who are strangers to us, but we have the chance to meet them. They'll come right here to our building. We pray that you might help us to be ready next week. No matter what the temperature is, we'll be ready and that we'll do the work you've called us to do. We thank you, Lord, for this night. Tonight we come to, again, consider your amazing, eternal, glorious nature and for us to seek to understand you as you have revealed yourself to us. Forgive us for our lack of knowledge and ability. We're limited. We see through a glass darkly into the glory and majesty of your nature and your character. May we understand you and your triune nature tonight. May we, as we consider and think about yourself as triune, Father, Son, Spirit, may it cause us to worship. May it cause us to fear you, honor you, to live in awe of you, and to worship you, the true and only God, revealed as Father, Son, and Spirit to us. And we thank you for it. Thank you for the privilege we have to have our Bible in our language. And we pray that you might bless our friends who are listening tonight online who cannot be with us. Bless them in all their conditions. And we know they're out there. We know we hear from them. And we pray you'd bless them tonight. So now, Lord, open our minds to the truth of your word. And may Jesus be honored and glorified in all that we do in this place and in this church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Good to see all of you. Good evening. And I hope you picked up the outline at the back. And those of you online, may the Lord bless you. And those on the back row back there, it's good to see you on the back row. And now you've got your own tables. And so everybody else will want a table because you've got tables. But that's all right. We'll set up tables. You're starting a trend, Carolyn. I know. All right. I want you to go to two places in your Bible tonight. We're going to continue to talk about. Now, what are we doing these days? This is called Know the Truth. We're looking at our confession as Baptists. What is it we believe as Baptists? That's very important. And so I'm tasking myself to do this. And so for this quarter of time, we'll be looking at these things together. And I'm excited about doing it. And I believe that it'll be a blessing to all of us. And so tonight we're finishing where we, so there's also some little booklets if you haven't picked one up. If you already have one, you don't need another one, but that is our confession of faith as Baptists. And you need that. We give that to all of our new members. Not everybody who joins us has been a Baptist, and so we want them to know who we are. We unapologetically believe these things. And as your pastor, I believe every bit of what I'm talking to you about. I am a believer born in Jesus Christ, born again, but I am a Baptist by conviction. And that means a lot, and that's important. So that's why we do this. And that's why I feel like it's my task as your pastor to do this with you. So this is a little different than what I've been doing with most of you for all these years. We're going through and doing this in the form of teaching. So a lot of words, not as many passages, because we have to think through these things together. So what I've done is I've taken from last week the statement on God, and you may not have brought your notes from last week that reads on the entire section of God, but in, I believe it's section number 2 in our article number 2 about God. There is one and only one living and true God. He is an intelligent, spiritual, and personal being, the creator, redeemer, preserver, and ruler of the universe. God is infinite in holiness and all other perfections. God is all-powerful and all-knowing, and His perfect knowledge extends to all things, past, present, and future, including the future decisions of His free creatures. To Him we owe the highest love, reverence, and obedience. But now we're going to land on number 6 because this is of great significance. Tonight we talk about the eternal triune God. Number 6, the eternal triune God reveals Himself to us as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit with distinct personal attributes, but without division of nature, essence, or being. Now, I'd like for you to turn in your Bible. So you should have another outline that I've given you, that is the outline for tonight, the glory of the triune God. But I'd like for you to look with me, first of all, at Romans chapter number 11. Find Romans chapter number 11, and then if you'll also find 1 Corinthians chapter number 8. Romans 11 and 1 Corinthians 8. We have here some wonderful, glorious words. Tonight, here's what you must do. You must understand that as we talk about God as Trinity, God as triune, God as one in three, three in one, we will not be able to comprehend it. It is incomprehensible. This is the glory of our God. But you cannot read the Word of God without seeing God revealed as Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So how do we put that together? Well, that's what I'll attempt to do for you tonight. And this is very difficult to do. You know, we could spend months upon this because this is the glory of our God. But we'll talk tonight about this, and perhaps this will lead you to some things that you can think about. If you study, let me just use the word, the old time word, doctrine. If you study the doctrines of the Bible and it does not lead you to worship and it just brings you to head knowledge, you've not studied properly. When you study the truths of God's Word, when you study the doctrines of God, it causes you to worship. It brings you before God. It causes you to submit yourself. The study, as I've mentioned, the old preacher said, the study of God is a life of worship. The study of God is a life of worship. So I come to these things recognizing that in my own feeble attempts, I will not be clear or perhaps explain as I should. The Holy Spirit will give us understanding. There is a glimpse of the Trinity, the triune God, Father, Son, Spirit, found at the end of Romans 11. Paul is saying, beginning in verse 33, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. Oh, yes. Depths. Depths. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and unfathomable His ways. That's where we find ourselves. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become His counselor, or who has first given to Him that it might be paid back to Him? But now if we find this phrase, very carefully you must read it, but you see within it God revealed in His wonderful relationship to us as Father, Son, Spirit. One God, not three gods. For from Him, that is from God the Father, and through Him, that is through the Lord Jesus Christ, and to Him, actually can be read in Him, that is the Holy Spirit, are all things. From Him, through Him, and in Him or to Him. Now, to Him be the glory forever. Amen. Notice, to Him, not to the hymns, not to them, but to Him. From Him, through Him, in Him. This is the glory, this is the mystery of our one God revealed as Father, Son, Spirit. Then we come to Paul talking about the importance of, he's dealing in 1 Corinthians 8 with sacrifice, idols, eating sacrificial food that's been sacrificed to idols. But he comes and makes a statement about, he says in verse 4, therefore concerning the eating of things sacrificed to idols, we know that there is no such thing as an idol in the world, and that there is no God but one God. And then verse 6, yet for us, that is believers, please read it carefully. We've read it before. There is but one God. But notice in the expression, the one God, the Father, from whom are all things. And we exist for Him, for God. And one Lord Jesus Christ, not another God, one God. Our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things. Notice the subtlety. From whom are all things, and by whom are all things. This is quite important. And we exist through Him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let me say it this way. Listen. I couldn't put all these in your notes. This is, tonight is Pastor Mike with frustration about how much to give you. Well, one bale of hay will do. How's that? All our good, listen now, you've heard these words. Listen, I'm trying to encourage you. All our good, brothers and sisters, is of God the Father. All through God the Son. And all is through the Holy Spirit. You see, all our good is from God the Father. All through God the Son. And all is in the Holy Spirit. He Himself is our good. God is good and He is our good. But let me say this. All our good things are of God, through God, and in God. This is the nature of understanding our God. Of God, through God, through the Lord Jesus, in God, the Holy Spirit. This is quite powerful for us. So notice our statement says the eternal triune God reveals Himself. This is what we believe. So what do we believe? Well, we believe the eternal, please, the words are important. This is in our confession. Confessions aren't permanent Bible. They're not inerrant, but they are statements of faith by believers. This is our Baptist statement. The eternal triune God. That is, one God revealed in three persons. Blessed Trinity, as we sang last week or spoke. The eternal triune God, one in three, three in one, reveals Himself. You see, God has revealed Himself. He has revealed Himself through the Lord Jesus Christ. He has revealed Himself through His words. He has revealed Himself through the prophets. He has revealed Himself. God has revealed Himself. He is not hidden. There is no shadow of turning. God is light. He is, the Lord Jesus is the Word of God. He is the Logos. He's the one who speaks for God, the unseen God. God reveals Himself to us as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So some of the statements here. God is the eternal God without beginning, without ending. God is from everlasting to everlasting. There is no break nor time of starting or ending with our glorious God. God is triune. He is triunity. He is three in one. He is three but one. The word Trinity is not used in the Word of God, but as I said, you cannot read and pay attention and understand truly. This is the foundation, bedrock of Christianity, the Trinity. It is at the heart and core. If we finally could just understand it and check it off the list, what kind of a God is that? You see, you'll study this along with me, those of you who go to heaven, forever and ever we will be overwhelmed by the majesty and glory and the immensity and the unfathomable infinity of who God is. God is triunity. But then we see Him as God the Father. And these are our statements. In Article 2, there's a breakdown with some descriptions of each person of our God. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. Person. God is Father. God as Father reigns with providential care over His universe, His creatures, and the flow of the stream of human history according to the purpose of His grace. That's what we've been talking about the second coming of the Lord Jesus. I'm tempted to say what I'm about to say about politics, but I'm not going to say it. The Lord determines the future of the world, not politicians. He is all-powerful, all-knowing, all-loving, and all-wise. God is Father in truth to those who become children of God through faith in Jesus Christ. He is fatherly in His attitude toward all men. Yes. But especially to us who are of the family of God. He is our Father. The Lord Jesus teaches us that. When you pray, you say, our Father, who is in heaven, our Father. Now, as children of God, our Father. God is Son. Christ is the eternal Son of God. That is Christ. Remember, that is the title for the Lord Jesus, Messiah. Messiah is the eternal Son of God. He is the promised one. In His incarnation as Jesus Christ, He was conceived of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. Jesus perfectly revealed and did the will of God. When you read about the Lord Jesus, He perfectly revealed the will of God and did the will of God. He took upon Himself human nature with its demands and necessities, and identifying Himself completely with mankind, yet without sin. Complete identification, one of us. When you pray and you speak to our great high priest, His heart is turned toward us in our pain and our troubles, even in heaven. He knows what it's like to endure life on the earth as humans. He honored the divine law by His personal obedience and in His substitutionary death on the cross. This is what our Lord's done. He made provision for the redemption of men from sin. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? He was raised from the dead with a glorified body and appeared to His disciples as the person who was with them before His crucifixion. Not a ghost, not some other kind of glorified being. It was the Lord Jesus who was eating broiled fish on the side of the lake before He ascended to heaven. It was the Lord Jesus who stood and said, "Touch my hands, touch my side, it is I." It is the Lord Jesus who said, "Peace be with you," alive from the dead, in the presence of His disciples and ascended to heaven before over 500. He ascended into heaven and is now exalted at the right hand of God, where He is the one mediator, fully God, fully man, in whose person is effected the reconciliation between God and man. This is at the heart of what we believe about the Lord Jesus' death on the cross and His atoning death for sinners. He will return in power and glory to judge the world. We've talked about that. And to consummate His redemptive mission. And He now dwells in all believers as the living and ever-present Lord. Christ in you. Christ in you. Christ in you. The hope of glory. If that's not enough about our great God, God is Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God, fully divine. He inspired holy men of old to write the Scriptures. What do we have? When you pick up the Word of God, the Holy Spirit joins you in helping you understand it. No matter what your favorite preacher is, no matter who you like, in this world of choices among preachers and teachers, the Holy Spirit is our teacher. He takes the Word of God and applies it, the words and the phrases and the ideas. He puts them together and puts them in our minds so that we might hear them and know them. Through illumination, He enables men to understand the truth. That's what I just described. He illumines our minds. He opens your mind. When you were not saved, you read the Bible, it was like a riddle. You had no understanding of these things. But when you came to know Jesus Christ, and I'm talking about, I've seen this for 50 years. People with very little education, oh, Pastor Mike, I can barely read. Well, they start to read the Bible, and all of a sudden, guess what? They start knowing things. And they don't have a college education. They have the Holy Spirit. And if you have the Holy Spirit, you begin to understand the truth of God's Word. Illumination. He exalts Christ. What does the Holy Spirit do? Points to Jesus Christ. What did the Lord say? He will glorify me. He convicts men of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. He calls men to the Savior, and He effects regeneration. That means being born again. He's the one who, when I was born again, it was the work of the Holy Spirit that brought me to life and gave me new birth. And I'm describing all of you who've been saved. We say saved, or we say born again, regenerated. At the moment of regeneration, He baptizes every believer into the body of Christ. You're now part of the body of Christ. When you got saved, when you were born again, no matter your age, you became a part of the body of Christ. Not a local congregation, but the glorious church of the Lord Jesus Christ globally. He cultivates Christian character. That's what the Lord's doing. The Holy Spirit's doing the deep work in your life and mine right now. He takes us in all of our pressures and all of our difficulties, and the Holy Spirit, He shapes us into Christ's likeness. These are good words. He cultivates Christian character. He comforts believers and bestows the spiritual gifts by which they serve God through His church. That's what the Holy Spirit's doing in your life right now. He seals the believer until the day of final redemption. Sealed, that is, you belong to the Lord. You belong to the Lord. His presence in the Christian is the guarantee that God will bring the believer into the fullness of the stature of Christ. We Baptists sometimes downplay this, but we forget that living the Spirit-filled life has emotion to it. When you're saved, you get excited about it. When you are born again and the Holy Spirit of God comes in, I'm not saying all of us have to be crazy and jump around and flip, do flips and foam at the mouth. I'm not talking about that. I'm saying it stirs and moves your heart. It's not just in your mind. You see, being saved is about your heart. Before I ever knew the truths of God as a young boy at 9, my heart was changed. That's what's true for all of you. So it's emotion. It's joy. That's why we're praying for these boys and girls and students this week. He enlightens and empowers the believer and the church in worship, evangelism, and service. How many times in the book of Acts did it read, and the Spirit said, and the Spirit said, and the Spirit said, and what have I been preaching through Revelation for these however many weeks as we're looking at these great promises? He who has an ear, let him hear what Jesus says to the church? No. No, the Spirit is taking the red letter words of the promises of Jesus from heaven, and He's the one speaking them to the church. Are you listening to the Holy Spirit? When you read your Bible, do you hear and sense the Holy Spirit saying to you, now this is for you, Mike. This is what you must do. This is where you must go. There sits Gerald back there, who's going on the last survey we did in White Bluff. So what does the Lord say to him? Go talk to that man. Well, Gerald's being stubborn. No, maybe that's just me. Again, go talk to that man. Go talk to that man. The third time Gerald talks to the man, the man's mowing his grass, it's hot, and he gets saved right on the spot. Go talk to that man. When the church hears the Holy Spirit, we'll be in good shape. When we listen to other people, we're going to be in bad shape. Amen. And when the Holy Spirit does it, it's easy. When we do it, it's hard. Amen. Just remember that. Now we go on. The eternal God reveals Himself to us as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Notice, with distinct attributes. This is number 2 on your outline. distinct attributes. Listen, the Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God. The Father is not the Son, the Father is not the Holy Spirit, and the Son is not the Holy Spirit. This is the mystery of God in His attributes, His personal attributes, these properties, these qualities. We struggle for the word. But within God, there is the beauty of His personal attributes as Father, Son, and Spirit. So I've given you some illustrations. God is the Father is Spirit. He's Father is His love. He is light. He is the lover of the world and all within it. He is the Father who sent the Savior. You know, what does 1 John 4:14 say? The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. That's the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. God the Father sent the Holy Spirit to teach, lead, and fill believers in Christ Jesus. He is God of God, of God. And through the Son, we saw earlier, God the Son is the only begotten of the Father. Not born, but He is eternally coming from the Father. And I don't have time to go into this whole thing of the glory of the only begotten of the Father, but it is a majestic, glorious truth about the Lord Jesus as Son of God, begotten, eternally begotten of God. He is the eternal Son of God and fully human man. You see, some say, well, Jesus was just a God and He took on some kind of humanity, but it wasn't real. No, He was fully man, fully God. He must be in order for us to be saved. He must be. So this is quite an important thing. God the Son is the Savior of sinners, and God the Son is the exact representation of the unseen God. You can read that in Hebrews chapter 1. And then God the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit reveals God's truth. God the Holy Spirit leads God's people. God the Holy Spirit glorifies Jesus, as we said earlier. God the Holy Spirit encourages and teaches God's people. God the Holy Spirit fills the mind, will, and emotions of believers. I gave it to you here, 1 Corinthians 2:12. For we have received the Spirit who comes from God. Notice that language. So that we may understand what has been freely given to us by God. One of my all-time favorite passages, Romans 5. The Holy Spirit pours out. Are you listening? When you're really down and you don't know what to do and you meet with God, the Holy Spirit, you know what He does? He pours out the love of God in your mind. He reminds you that you are loved by God. The Holy Spirit is the one who continues to point to the love of God. He is the one who gives us a sense and reality of God loves me. Now, number three, the eternal God reveals Himself to us as Father. So there are distinctions, personal attributes, but there is one God. And this is the last phrase. Without division of nature, essence, or being. These words are hard for us, but they're good for us to hear. They're good for us to hear. On the separate page, you have what's been sometimes called the Trinity Shield at the bottom. There's a chart. On that page where it says notes to read on the Trinity, but at the bottom, and this chart's been around a long time, probably since about the 11th century, it was developed in this way, but forms of it even earlier in the church. Notice, Holy Father is not Holy Son, Holy Son is not Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit is not Holy Father. God is Holy Father, God is Holy Son, God is Holy Spirit. So now we come to this matter of one nature, one essence, and one being. Let me just do this quickly. One nature. Nature is a character, is our characteristics. God has a divine nature, not a human nature. We know what our nature's like. Our nature is to sin. Our nature is to be selfish. We're made in the image of God, but we've rebelled against God. And so human nature, we know what human nature is, but we're talking about what's called divine nature. And I gave you this statement here, the eternal God is not three gods with different natures, but the eternal triune God without a division of nature. The eternal triune God exhibits all the perfections of God. God the Father reveals the perfections of God. That's what we call the attributes of God. His love, His grace, His mercy, His power. God the Son reveals the perfections, the attributes of God. God the Holy Spirit reveals the perfections and attributes of God. And then one essence. Essence, the words are incorrect on your outline. It should read, the eternal triune God is not three gods with different essences. And in the parentheses, you should mark out mind, will, and emotions. That's not correct. The word essence means the essential quality. God's essential quality is being God. God's essence is God. Let me read it this way. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are one in essence. God is His own essence. I know you think I'm talking double talk, but I'm not. God is His own essence. There's nothing to compare. Who shall we compare God to? No one. Nothing. He is His own essence. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are equal in measure of divine essence. Now I want to read you something. And oh, this is just so hard and frustrating. It's 7:22, so just stay with me. I want you to think about something that I just think is so wonderful about the essence, the divine essence of God. Now just listen to these words. You got to just I don't have this printed for you. I wish I did. I want us to think about the perfect, complete, eternal happiness of God. This is an ancient way of describing happiness, the happiness of God. In Proverbs chapter 8, the great famous chapter on the wisdom of God, which is the Lord Jesus. This entire chapter is about the Lord Jesus, who is the wisdom of God. As we think about Trinity, the statement is made in Proverbs 8:30, then I was beside Him as a master workman. This is the Lord Jesus speaking as the wisdom of God about God the Father. I was beside Him as a master workman, and I was daily His delight, rejoicing always before Him. There are some who say God had to make human beings in order to not be sad. That is a terrible, horrible misunderstanding of God's complete happiness in Himself. Are you listening to me now? You see, only God can be happy about Himself. Only God can be all about Himself. Are you listening to what I'm trying to say to you? Man wants to be all about himself and make himself what? A God. No, God. Let's consider tonight that God not only exists. Listen, folks, God is happy. The happiness of God. Listen, I'll just read it to you. Divine happiness is that God is infinitely happy in the enjoyment of Himself. In perfectly beholding and infinitely loving and rejoicing in His own essence and perfection. Now, that's a lot. This is the glory of our God. And guess what? Because God so loves us through the Lord Jesus Christ, that's His expression, He sent His Son, guess what? So that, I'm doing it on Sundays, we might experience eternal delight in heaven and be in a delightful, joyful, wonderful, eternally pleasurable place called heaven. Are you not glad? Amen. You see, we gain spiritual pleasure because of the... You see, God's complete in Himself. This is the point of essence. You don't have to add, well, you know, boy, have got to have man to make it. No. Man was made to demonstrate the glory of God, not to fill a spot that was lacking in God. Just remember this, God doesn't need us. We need God. Are you listening? Been a lot of misteaching in the world. God is completely happy eternally with Himself. And within God Himself, there is emotion and happiness about Himself. You have it in your life. You get happy in your life. You have emotions within your own self. This is quite powerful and wonderful. I wish I had time to give you a few more things. I had one more, sorry. All the persons in the Trinity, the Father is in the Son and the Son is in the Father. The Holy Spirit is in the Father, and the Father is in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in the Son, and the Son is in the Holy Spirit. And the Father understands because the Son, who is the divine understanding, is in Him. The Father loves because the Holy Spirit is in Him. So the Son loves because the Holy Spirit is in Him and proceeds from Him. So the Holy Spirit, or the divine essence, is divine. This is the glory of our God. Amen. When you say our Father, remember what you're saying. Bow before Him. Honor Him with your life. Paul said it, I remind you. There is one God, the Father, from whom are all things, and we exist. Are you listening? We exist for God. Whatever He chooses to put you through, we exist for God. We don't do deals with God. He perfectly knows who you are. He understands exactly what you're going through. And to the praise of the glory of the Lord, He is His own essence. And He's one being. That is, He's infinite, He's eternal, He's unchangeable. So, I'll leave you with the notes to read on the Trinity. If you'd like to, there's some very important things. I would only simply read the underlined statements. If there is one God subsisting in three persons, then let us give equal reverence to all the persons in the Trinity. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the new birth of the Lord Jesus Christ to an inheritance undefiled. I'm just quoting from 1 Peter. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Are you listening to how Peter says it? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. That's Paul. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then what does the Lord say? He's in the upper room and He says, I'm going away and the Holy Spirit is coming from the Father. And then later He says, and from Me. Father, Son, Spirit. Obey all the persons in the Blessed Trinity. And I ask you today, are you listening to the Holy Spirit? Are you listening to the Holy Spirit? When the Holy Spirit says to you in your mind, don't go there, don't say that, don't do that. You see, if you walk with God and if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you'll hear from the Holy Spirit. As many as are led by the Spirit, listen, these are children of God. If you're not being led by the Holy Spirit, you're not saved. I'm just trying to be plain here. Now as we end, Come Thou Almighty King is our hymn for tonight. We will not sing it because Brother Jeff is not in here. Thank God you don't have to hear me sing it. But here we go. Come Thou Almighty King, help us Thy name to sing. Help us to praise. Father all glorious, o'er all victorious, come and reign over us, Ancient of Days. Come Thou Incarnate Word, gird on Thy mighty sword, our prayer attend. Come and Thy people bless and give Thy word success. Spirit of holiness on us descend. Come, Holy Comforter, Thy sacred witness bear in this glad hour. Thou who almighty art, now rule in every heart and ne'er from us depart, Spirit of power. To Thee, Great One in Three, eternal praises be hence evermore. His sovereign majesty may we in glory see, and to eternity love and adore. Can anybody say amen?
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Heavenly Father, we honor You tonight. Lord Jesus, for our sins You have died. We honor and praise You and we submit ourselves to follow You. Holy Spirit of God, lead us to follow Jesus. Help our church to hear from You and to follow You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.